The sermon this morning reflects upon the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 10. I reread a portion of that. So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, for you are of more value than many sparrows. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. If you remember the gospel reading from last week on which I preached, it was the first part of this section, this appointing of the 12 apostles. And so that's why in the reading it kind of hits us strange at first, the assigned reading as verse 5 and jumps all the way to 21. Well, we read verse 5 through 20 last week, and this week we continue 21 and following. The first section of that reading that we had last week was really more towards the 12 apostles whom he called. And if you remember parts of the sermon from last week, Jesus went about preaching and teaching, and he had compassion on the crowds, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were helpless, the text said. And the very next thing we saw in last week's reading, in the first part of this, was then he called the 12 apostles. And we thought last week about how Jesus' compassion on the crowds led him to call those 12 apostles, whom he then sent out to the crowds to preach the kingdom of God, who then he gave power to heal and to cast out demons. For it was his compassion to do that. And those then 12 apostles have even blessed us through their writings, which teach us about Jesus. The emphasis towards the apostles continues through the first couple of verses today, 21 and 22 and 23. And we can kind of see that because he wanted them to go about to all the villages and towns of the Israelites first. And so he told them not to go to the Samaritans and other places, but only to the house of Israel. And then he says, and you won't even reach all of them, you see in verse 23. So the first couple of verses apply to the apostles more than to us, although we can learn some things. If, in fact, the apostles, the ones Jesus gave the power to cast out demons, to heal the sick, if for them brother will deliver brother over to death, a child, his father, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. If they will be hated by all for my name's sake, if the very apostles, that will happen to them, we should not be surprised if it happens to us who are following in their train. So Jesus really sets the tone of what it means the apostle, and then finally what it means a disciple for us too. But as he continues here, we can see in his teaching there's a switch in emphasis. Because in verses 24 and 25, it becomes broader, a disciple, not just a 12, but a disciple. What it's going to be like for his disciples. Verse 24 says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. And then he gives us a very distinct example. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? Now, Beelzebub was an old name that came down through the Aramaic and they used it in the Hebrew means like it's the devil. It was a term for the devil, and it goes back to the Baal worship, false worship. So if he says, if they have called the master of the house, the owner of the house, they have called him the devil, then what about everybody who's in that house? They will say the same thing about him. So a teacher is not above his student, and a master or student is not above the teacher, and a slave not above his master. If they do this for the teacher and they do this for the master, they're going to do it for the followers. That's what happens. But if that happens, does a Christian have to be afraid? He says, do not fear. Should we fear these evil powers and things that may come after the disciples of Jesus? If you notice in the notes, I put blank, why not? I am suggesting to you the answer is no, we don't fear them. I don't say no or why not. I'm only saying why not? No, we don't fear. Now, when I say fear there, and when Jesus says fear here, he doesn't mean be aware of. He doesn't mean avoid. He doesn't mean be careful. But he says, do not be afraid. We know that there's evil, and we're careful about it. We know that we can be attacked, and even Peter says the devil is like a roaring lion. So we're aware of that. But Jesus says, do not fear. Evil will be exposed. He says that very clearly. So the evil things that are done and they think they can be hidden will be exposed. And if not in this life, at the end, when God judges all. Evil cannot overcome God, and evil cannot hide from God. Please remember that. Evil cannot overcome God, and it cannot hide from God. God knows what's going to happen, and God one day will judge. Why doesn't he always judge just now? Because he has mercy, and he would have all come to believe in Jesus Christ. There's a time of repentance. But there will be a time for final judgment. And Jesus reminds us and teaches us here, we have a Heavenly Father who cares for our, and I'm going to say it, eternal body and soul. He says here, now don't fear those who can kill the body, and that's only temporary. But what he says, but fear him who can kill both body and soul in hell. Sure, his disciples may suffer, be persecuted, maybe even put to death for believing in Jesus. But even if our body is given up for Christ, in fact, that's not the end of our body. For the promise is that in my flesh I will see my Redeemer. He will raise us up. This body that you have and that I have is in God's plan eternal, not the creaks and the diseases and everything that's bothering us. That's not the eternal. But our body is eternal, and he will raise it up in full glory and healing as he intends. No death, illness, sorrow, suffering of the body, done. It is eternal. And so with our soul. And Jesus is saying, look, these people can kill you, yes, they can persecute, yes, but they're not in charge of your eternal body and soul. God is. And that is your Heavenly Father. They can kill our body today, but he keeps it forever. I have in brackets there, just in case you're wanting to know, how much were two sparrows worth? Two sparrows were worth about a half hour work. So he says, your life is, even two sparrows, your Father knows what's happening to them, and if they fall, if they die, whatever, they know, he knows. So also the hairs of your head, they're numbered. And we know, oh my goodness, he's counting every day how many hairs are there or not there. Jesus is emphasizing that our bodies are in his care. Even our hair is in his care. When we pray, "Our Father who art in heaven," we are saying and confessing and coming to God saying, "You're in charge of it all. I trust you with my body. I trust you for my daily bread. I trust you to take away evil and to defeat the evil one. I trust that you will keep your word in my life and that your kingdom will come into my life." And Jesus, this, your heavenly Father is watching over you, and you're worth far more than two sparrows. In fact, he knows every hair on your head. Now, this last part of this passage is important, and it's important also for us to fit it in to everything that he's teaching when he says, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." If I am asked on a document, they need my family history, and they may ask me for my human father's name, David Carl Rockroar, I am not going to deny that I am the son of David Carl Rockroar. That is my father. And if they're taking, the person is taking my particulars, my family history, if I say to that person, "Well, who was your father?" "I don't know." The person doesn't know. That happens in life today. Okay, you don't know who your father is. Okay, I will put down your father. Father doesn't know. Jesus is saying, this is your heavenly Father. And if you acknowledge him, you're acknowledged in heaven. This is my heavenly Father. And I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. He says, I will acknowledge you in heaven. But if we say, I don't know who my Father is, and our life shows, I don't worship God, I don't thank God, I don't have a heavenly Father, I don't pray to him, fine. You yourself have said you don't have a Father in heaven. This word that Jesus used, acknowledge, means to say the same thing you've heard, to repeat it back. And so Jesus' disciples, we, when we hear Jesus teaching that he is our heavenly Father, and he cares for every hair in our head, and we're worth more than two sparrows, in fact, worth more than a lot of sparrows, he knows everything, and he's in charge, then that is how we live and confess our lives. And our name is in heaven. If we say, I don't know God, and we live that way, well, we have said, I don't know God. And that's what Jesus is pointing out. You are children of the Heavenly Father. Don't be afraid. And he teaches us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven. And he teaches us also, go and tell others that too. They have a Father who is in heaven. They don't have to be afraid. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who teaches us about you. Increase our faith always, every day. No matter what the situation, we ask that we would not forget, but confess, acknowledge, rejoice in the fact that you are watching over all things. Be with us in our times of hardship or trouble or confusion, so that we may continually come to you, continually trust in you. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.